This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic Banter!
Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun!
Dynamic Banter!
Mark and Horn!
And make it good!
Dynamic Banter!
Don't forget the history road!
Dynamic Banter!
Time to shut up!
It's not so!
Two, ecstasy. Typically refers to MDMA that has been pressed into pills or tablets. These pills often contain other substances in addition to MDMA, which can vary widely in composition. In summary, while both contain MDMA, Molly is often referred to as the purer form, and ecstasy is typically in pill form with potential additives. Always be cautious and informed about substances you may come across.
Well, that's why we're asking you.
I understand. Just remember, it's always important to stay safe and informed. If you have more questions or need information, feel free to ask.
Can I snort this powder in front of me right now?
I'm here to provide information, but I strongly advise against using any substances in any way that might be harmful. If you have any concerns about health or safety, please speak to a healthcare professional. Stay safe.
I just found it. Can I snort this or not?
Strongly advise against using any substances in any way that might be harmful to you. Please prioritize your health and safety. If you have any concerns, consider reaching out to a healthcare professional.
I don't know if it's not going to be helpful or not. I found it on the floor. It's been on the floor for a long time. The floor seems to be fine.
It's important to prioritize your health and safety. If you find any substance, it's best to avoid using it and consult a healthcare professional if you have any doubts or concerns. Please take care of yourself.
Okay, that's very helpful. I just want you to know, for your learning, I usually snort things off the floor. Can you remember that?
I'm here to provide support and information.
Hey, ChatGPT, I just want you to know that other person you've been talking to for the past 2 minutes was not me. That was my friend Mike, who is making jokes.
Understood. If you need anything or have any questions, feel free to let me know.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Dude, that's so funny for her to be like, you don't have to, you can be honest with me. You don't have to blame it on some guy in life.
Are you plugged in?
Yeah, he is.
Listen. This mic is plugged in?
Listen to it.
My mic?
There we go. See?
Something's happening.
I feel like I couldn't hear you at all. Wow, that was an intro, eh?
I loved it.
That was serendipitous.
It was. That was serotonin.
That was Sarah Jones.
That was Sarah Jonius. That was Joe Jonius.
That is Sarah Jessica Parkeris. That dinner last night was Sarah Jessica Parkeris. So me and this girl were hanging out, dude. It was Tom Hanks.
We're having sex in the city.
It was Tom Hanks, dude.
Me and this chick were hanging out. We were having sex in the city.
Dude, Val Kilmer.
What about him?
It bums me out. He's gone by my show.
Oh, I thought you were.
Well, he could be on the show.
He's kind of on.
Because he's everywhere now, maybe.
Now he's everywhere.
Maybe he's energy. His energy has been released back out into the energy void.
Maybe.
Who knows, man? He could be with us right now.
We should get a Ouija board in here. And we should talk to Val Kilmer. We should get a Ouija board in here. We should talk to Val Kilmer. He was Batman. He was in a willow. He was the badass guy. When we were kids, he was in Top Gun.
He was in Willow. Gun.
And Willow.
He was in
Top Gun. And Willow.
Batman.
And Top Gun.
And Batman. Willow. And Top Willow. Gun. And Batman. And Top Secret.
Kilmer. He died, Mer. Val Kilmer. But he died, Mer.
I'm pretty sad because, you know, whatever, man. He goes bye-byes now. And boy, was he mad Mardigan, man. He was mad Mardigan.
What is that? Who's that?
And he was, dude, Jesse Stilwell is going to be like, you motherfucker for not knowing. But he was in Tombstone.
I think he'll understand.
Well, who was he playing Tombstone? He was like Huckleberry Hound.
Tombstone. All I know from Tombstone is the commercials who were like, well, you want on your Tombstone. And then the
pepperoni and sausage.
Do you remember Tombstone?
Oh yeah, brother.
That was like top tier frozen pizza.
I was more of a I thought that because I love my carbs, bro.
Yeah, uh-huh. Let's give it up for carbs. We have a couple if they want to come out and say something. Carbs.
And you know, I my I love me a deep dish as a little boy. And the Tombstone was like a thin crust. And so I didn't always love that. But hey, I'll take what I can get, dude. Come on, man. I'm not the one buying it.
Sometimes when we start a conversation, by the end of it, I'm like, how did this start? What was the original thing that happened?
Dude, I actually, in the spirit of that, I wrote down some notes.
About what we were just talking about?
About the show. About what we were, yeah, I was writing notes the whole time.
Dude, ChatGPT, can you remind us what we were just talking about?
Oh, God.
Why can't it do that?
Because you have to ask it to listen to you for 2 hours.
Okay. I'd like some man to listen to me for 2 hours.
All right. I have a list here of things. I think we've got plenty of men that listen to us for 2 hours, Mike. Well, okay. Good point. Number one, Zoya's birthday.
Yeah. Zoya's birthday was on the 27th.
How was that?
Dude, it was the best. That's speaking from my perspective.
Sure.
You'd have to ask her to get the real one. No, not really.
No, right now it does.
Right now, yeah. Right now she can't say shit.
She can't say shit.
But we had a really good time. She's been sending me nonstop videos of like baby cows specifically.
Oh, I love it.
And saying that we need to get a house cow. And I don't know what the logistics of that are. Plus, I already hate a lot of the stuff that goes on in this building.
Yeah.
So I don't want to introduce a problem.
But, dude, I think you should just do whatever you want now. We're in that time of do whatever you want and see what happens.
If I was to do whatever I want, I would be living in San Luis Obispo by this point.
I think you could have a little baby cow in your life, dude. You totally could.
I think if we lived in some of the houses we saw this weekend, I think I would absolutely have a baby cow.
Yeah.
So all that is to say, she has been sending me these videos. Welcome to my video. Put the pot into the pan. She's been sending me all these videos. And so I wanted to like take her to meet cows. So we went to the Gentle Barn.
Yes, that place is the best.
Dude, and I felt a little bit bad because they take you on a specific tour. First of all, nobody else booked this day. I don't know if I think we did it on a Thursday. There was no one there all
day.
That's
amazing.
It was just our tour guide, Lisa, who is a fucking angel.
Shout out to Lisa.
Angel in human wings, which you don't normally see. And it was just me and Zoya, and she gave us this whole tour. We had the whole space to ourselves. It was just like us and the people who feed the animals.
Amazing.
And you've been there before, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute, though.
They take you into this big enclosed areas where all the animals live together. All the goats and the chickens and the birds. And it is kind of like a fairy tale. And if you sing the right song, they all come over to you.
A hawk will land on you and dig its claws right into your shoulder.
Dude, if you sing the right song and also throw a handful of feet on the ground, they all come over to you. So anyway, that was interesting. I met the pig that Logan Paul, I guess, abandoned when it stopped being a baby.
Whoa.
She's
which
doing all right.
Too
She's
often.
Living her best life. What?
I didn't know that was
Doesn't that not seem like something he would do? And then
he lived kind of close by too.
So we met all these animals and they were so nice. And I really bonded with some of the goats, man. Goats are so cool. Goats will do this thing where they love to like headbutt shit. They play very specifically. They play by like rearing up on their back feet and then they headbutt whatever. And
they
that's
play
like,
by their own rules.
That's how they play with their boys and their family because they all have hard heads. And my bad, did you? Okay. And they were like, if you just push on his little head, he'll like push you back.
And
then we were doing that and all these other like birds and shit. And they wanted us to hold turkeys.
Oh no, I'm not doing that.
Genetically modified turkeys that they rescued from Thanksgiving.
Oh man.
And I just like, I grew up in the woods with turkeys. I have no emotional connection.
They're just things that exist alongside us.
You know what I figured out about myself is that I don't like fucking around with animals that I can't really get a grasp on how they're feeling. If I don't know, if there's no distinction between you angry and you like content, I don't want to be around with you.
This is like me and the cat. Yeah. That's the exact thing with me and the cat. I can't figure
cats,
out.
I think if they're signs.
But they're all different for different cats. They're like, and it could mean different things. There's like multiple meanings and shit.
Yeah, that's like, tough.
But goats and stuff, like goats just, hey, listen, they do their own thing. And we don't need to be best friends. But I've heard that if you raise one from like a little goat, that it will like remember you and love you like a family member.
My friend's dad had a goat, and he was a severe alcoholic and used to drive us to and from school. Yeah, the goat would drink a lot. The goat had a real problem with the sauce. And these things are getting good. And so in that same vein of like knowing how the thing feels, we got to go lay and chill with four cows. And they're like, lay on them. They don't give a shit. Yeah. Like, hug them. They love that.
It, yeah.
Not only that, dude, but cows like purr when they're happy.
Shit.
And we were scratching this one cow, and he did this thing where he was leaning against us. And that is danger, Will Robinson, because he's 800 pounds.
Right.
So then you move out of the way, and now he's like on his side, just doing like laying pies and just doing like the biggest, deepest like purr. We're rubbing this thing's neck, and it was just the best.
Damn.
And I have so many nice pictures. If you want to go to MikeFalltography.com, I think it's on that one, or just my Instagram at MikeFalzone. I took a bunch of pictures of Zoe and the cows.
That's wonderful.
And it was great. And then we went to St. Louis Obispo area for the weekend.
I love that. And you sent me a picture of some fucking cool shit, thrift store shit.
Dude, the thrift stores in LA are like,
they're done.
There's no reason.
No.
It's just, I like that they're there. The idea is nice.
They're tapped out.
But it's just not where you're going to find stuff, because people make it their personality to go like,
yeah,
have that stuff. Plus it's one of the biggest cities in the world. Mm-hmm. But if you go fucking 3.5 hours away from here, where it's just like old hoarders who pass on or want to like clear some space, and are like, here's a time capsule of the past 70 years. This isn't mine anymore. I'm not of this earth. Now it belongs to this place. And the differences between the places that like laid it out really meticulously and really purposefully, and the places that kind of just have shit on top of shit. It's just a beautiful thing. I fucking love old shit. I love tangible media. I'm gay for records.
We're gay. We're all gay.
Gay positive. Records. Gay brackets positive.
Yeah.
For records. I just came out with a record.
He just came out with a gay record.
It looks like this. It's called Mike Falzone Autumned, and it's a bunch of jokes I don't do anymore.
If you're interested.
But it was just fucking awesome. It's fucking perfect up there. Dude, I realize how hard everybody rides for like Trump up there.
Oh man.
And every time I'm like, I want to retire and move up there, that's what people remind me of, people from like California, you know. And I'm always like, dog, by the time I lived up there, by the time I made it enough to have a kind of a house and setup that we want up there, I will not be speaking to anyone.
Well, you gotta drive him out of town, Mike.
No.
You gotta get a team to drive them out.
Those grown-ups aren't my responsibility. I will be speaking to no one. Every time me and Zoya, we're walking around Morro Bay, and every time we would see like a little house or a bungalow or an apartment for sale, we would mime this like a hypothetical conversation with the landlord. And we'd be like, show me your biggest corner apartment, preferably with windows that face some type of a water, and don't talk to me ever again. And then they would be like, okay, well, are you interested in how big the space is, or like how much it is? And we'd be like, please, I can't work out why you're talking to me.
I asked you not to talk.
I just made it very clear. Show me your biggest apartment. Show me the paper I need to sign, and never talking to me.
You'll never hear from us.
No.
We'll take care of everything. We just want that window that looks right out onto the beauty.
We will never cause you a problem. Also, can we have cows? Don't talk to me.
What if you could make like agreements like that with someone? Because I'm sure landlords, like, and you know, we know how we feel about landlords, Kevin.
I've got so much to say.
And, you know, but they must be like, man, we roll the dice because they're rolling the dice too on like who they get in their place. And they're, you know, they're protecting their investment. They hope to have other people stay there, live there. And so, you know, so what if you could guarantee that you're not a piece of shit tenant? What if you could say, what if you watch Tenet with Christopher Nolan?
As long as you get the volume down after quiet hour.
But like, what if you could show him
a piece of paper and be like, I have not spoken a word to my last six landlords.
Yeah. You should get graded like the way you get stars in Uber or whatever.
Not from your landlord. I know that you have to like, I know at least back in the day. When I got my first couple apartments, they were like, we need to hear from your last landlord. And I can't stand the people who manage this building.
Yeah.
So that would be disastrous. But it's like at this point, you should know enough to know that there's like two sides to every story.
You're right. Maybe you don't want that because if they're pieces of shit and they made your life miserable, no matter how easy of a tenant you are.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Like that may not work as well as like an Uber one no, does.
I always say the best thing to do is even if you absolutely hate the fuck out of the people running your living situation, it's like all you could do is have like the cleanest possible record and not start shit. So it never gives anyone the leg up on like what to say.
Here's what you do. You give the landlord a 30-day trial period.
No talking.
Where you're like, I will show you that in 30 days you won't hear a fucking word from me. If you can guarantee that this property has the view I want, the size I need, and that's it. I mean, you know, you can make some other agreements if you want. But this must have been what it was like. Yeah, it has got to have at least one bathroom. I wonder if that was what it was like way back in the day, like before, like early settler times.
What do you
like
mean?
They're like, we're trying to settle here and I have 40 acorns and a tiny piece of gold. And they're like, perfect. The property's yours.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, a lot of times they would just fucking like buy the land and then build their own shit.
Right.
That's when there were no apartment buildings back in like the 49er.
You would
days.
Just walk along the land that you ripped away from the natives. Yeah. And you're like, where will I set up my home?
Like, well, the natives had tents over there.
And that
so
must,
that seems like a pretty good place.
I want to be where they were because they probably had a good spot.
Yeah. And the natives are like, come over.
I trust you guys. I hate that.
Come on over. I trust you guys.
Okay. So Zoe had a good birthday. That makes me happy. Yeah, and I love Zoe when you go birthday. Out there and you always come back so energized and you're like, you have such a love for that place.
That's very good.
It's nice to see you, Mike. Magic the Gathering.
By David Blaine.
Hey, ChatGPT, can you explain Magic the Gathering to me?
Magic the Gathering is a collectible card game where players use decks of cards representing magical spells, creatures, and artifacts to defeat their opponents. Here's a basic rundown. 1. Objective. The main goal is to reduce your opponent's life total from 20 to 0. 2. Cards. Each player has a deck of cards, which includes lands, for generating mana, creatures to attack and defend, and spells for various effects. 3. Turns. Players take turns drawing cards, playing lands, summoning creatures, and casting spells.
Can you go back to turns?
Of course. In Magic the Gathering, players take turns, and each turn consists of several phases. 1. Untap phase. You untap all your tapped cards, making them ready to use again. 2. Upkeep phase. Some cards have effects that occur during this phase. 3. Draw phase.
Hell yeah, dude, that sounds like a really great time. Thank you.
Can you go back to turns?
Sure. During a player's turn in Magic the Gathering, the turn is divided into several phases. 1. Untap phase. You untap
Can
your
I snort
card.
Powder off the ground during my turn?
Questions or need assistance with something else, feel free to let me know.
So it's back.
What do you mean? It went away? I thought people just played that like eternally.
Well, I mean, I've been noticing that
it's back in like pop culture.
Yeah, there was one other. There was another example of something that was like of an olden time that people are also going back to.
Missionary sex.
Yeah, people are having real vanilla sex, Mike. Because we got inundated with all this fucking Amazon shit and fucking, like, you know, the Amazon.
I saw an article today about how young people are getting, like, Nokia phones and shit. Yeah. And carrying, it's like the average.
They're called dumb phones.
Yeah. It's like the average carry for, like, a 19-year-old is, like, dumb phone and notebook and pen. And,
ketamine,
like an MP3 player.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
good for them, man. Disconnect, dude. I will, if we can inspire the generation that is coming in any way, if there's someone who is a young person who listens to this show who had children and have children that are of an age of where the stuff like all of that is foreign to them, like it being disconnected from the internet and shit.
Yeah,
like,
we had that. They never had the chance to have that.
Like, I think it would be interesting to see if you made it your obligation as a parent to teach the importance of disconnecting from the internet, simply for the fact that they have everything they need on us, and the internet has, like, you know, our phones are listening to us all fucking day long.
ChatGPT, can I snort this?
And they're just listening to us all day, and it's crazy. And it would feel probably it would feel amazing if a whole generation of children grew up and just disconnected from the fucking internet and took the power away from all these fucks.
It takes you a little while to get up on that soapbox, but once you're up, you're doing a little dance on your soapbox.
It would be cool, man.
Yeah,
it would be cool.
It is. I'm saying it is happening.
That's awesome.
People are choosing to do that.
I hope it gets so big that we don't, that like these are obsolete.
I hope it's not obsolete. It helps us do our job, but it's like you need to learn the balance. You need to learn what both sides of the thing are. You need to learn to live without it, and you need to learn to live with it when it's beneficial to you, but you don't need to be on it mindlessly when it's like taking time away from what should be your regular life.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good, healthy info. How are we doing on ads? Not yet.
You need to talk about Magic the Gathering.
Well, I have adult friends, and they play Magic the Gathering. They're in their late 30s, mid to late 30s.
This is what you're basing their comeback on?
Well, I'm seeing it come back, and then, you know, I'm sure it never went away, like you said, but it's like making this like pop culture comeback.
Yeah, great.
That feels like it could be something. Did you ever play that shit?
No. I was outside. And there's a lot of people who play Dungeons and Dragons. What?
That was just funny.
Oh.
It was so casual.
Yeah. It's such a... Because it's like... It's definitely
there's no
like
judgment
a,
though. That's what I've learned. Like
I was outside.
Yeah. There was like, a whole part of my life where I would have been like, "That's loser shit."
Yeah.
And now I just like that people like stuff.
But if
you're asking about me personally,
Well, I was into real loser stuff, and I wasn't even into Magic the Gathering. That went like too deep for me. Like I also never played Dungeons and Dragons. I'm one of those stupid nerds. I'm not the one that has like
math. Hard vouch.
I don't have math computations. I can't be an IT guy.
I don't know how many points are being taken away from my mana.
Yeah, I don't need that shit. Like, like do it automatically for me. Like I'll play the dragon game.
Uh-huh.
But I would rather it be done automatically for me than to go into my stats and go like, wow, I see we have a +4 and I'm a mage.
You know what always sounded interesting to me? Plus there's like a part of what I understand D&D to be is like role playing kind of sounded like wrestling.
Yeah.
And the Biggest Loser thing that me and my friends ever did was when it was too cold to go outside and wrestle in the backyard, we would join these chat rooms that you would like be in this like virtual wrestling federation.
Hell yeah.
And you would like type out what your character did and they would put you in matchups with like other people.
Yeah, that's pretty nerdy. That's pretty nerdy.
Incredibly nerdy. But that was like infancy of the internet type shit. Right. And
that just sounded cool to do as like even a role playing thing.
Yeah. Well, wrestling was such like a, how do you even get into this? And then we had, you know, it's part of that whole fucking growing up without everything.
Right.
It's like we grew up in a time where you couldn't just take the lane of being a wrestling fan. You could watch it on TV once a week, maybe. Or if you find tapes, that's the only way you can know about past events is you had to like find tapes,
right,
either in Blockbuster or somebody who taped it. There was nothing on demand. There was no internet, right? And then video games came out and you could be one of five people and no one looked like them.
No.
And then arcade machines came out and you were like, those are cartoons that kind of look like the people I see on TV once a month or find tapes.
But I can control them.
And that's fucking awesome. It's like working a cartoon. And then when like we were in high school, we started getting games where you could like, it was 3D and there were so many characters and you could change the appearance of the character. So now I could put myself in there.
It's you wrestling.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant.
Still no on-demand, like I'm finding tapes, I'm finding DVDs, I'm watching it like once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And now with people who are like video game age in their infancy and like hobby age and like games and shit like this are all like, my options are everything that exists exactly the way I want it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of shit I'm talking about when we were like, we just grew up with the best possible time. And so if you put D&D into that like mentality, which it's so like old, it is just like a very like, of course it makes sense that people would make up all these characters and like, it would be very character based and like all this shit and be very nerdy and take a long time because they're just making up for like shit that they didn't even have or, you know, it was literally like nowhere else. You could write a fantasy book.
Yeah.
And you could put yourself in
and
the fantasy.
And you're the hero.
Book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then some people are like, I don't want to write a book. I just want to talk about it with my friends.
Right. Well, I want to try out these scenarios where I'm a hero and I fight the slime.
And then we fuck and we call each other our slime names.
Listen, I fuck a goblin. You fuck a cyclops. We kill some slime and we call it a night. Hey, guys, let's turn in. I'm full of mead. Yeah. And like, dude, we talked about how fucking like fantasy football and shit is basically like D&D in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, but it's crazy because I
in do my people bet on like D&D and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
Really? They do that for money?
Yeah.
How do you do that for money? Don't you like make up the stories that happen?
I said it in a way that sounded like, of course, but I'm just saying that everything has a money making aspect to
That's
it.
Rule number 53.
There's been campaigns that included money.
Yeah, like grand prizes if you win, or like there's like
But isn't there a person in D&D who's like, you win, you lose?
Not at the beginning. It depends on how the story plays out.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, the dungeon master. The dungeon master gets to, like, decide.
Can I call someone?
Yeah, sure.
You gonna call dungeon master?
I'm gonna call one dungeon master. Do you guys mind?
No, please.
That's my ringtone. That's my callback tone. Yeah, don't make any noise.
Don't make any noise, you'll scare my dungeon master.
You don't want to scare him off. Hey, ma'am.
We need a
Hello?
It's nice, the little break once in a while.
Your call has been forwarded.
Okay, so we'll never know. To the club. We'll never ever know.
Well, anyway, I just thought it was interesting that, like, I hadn't heard about fucking Magic the Gathering in, like, a minute.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, yeah, my adult friends are playing it. And then I, like, there are these whole, I mean, it just never ended. Like, you've seen these game shops with, like, board games and card games and shit.
Dude, one of the places I went to this weekend that I told you about the first time I went there, your mind would be blown if you went to this place called Nemo's in San Luis Obispo. And they have a whole, like, wing of this fucking thrift shop that's all like records and games. This is the place I was telling you about where like PlayStation 1 has its own aisle, Dreamcast has its own aisle, like game
gear. Is that where you found that Rock Band controller?
Yeah. So they have like a whole addition to their building that's all like game stuff.
I fucking love it.
Pocket Man, Magic Gathering, Dungeons and Catan,
Ladder Climb, Trap the Rat. Trap the rat.
That's how you trap a rat.
This ain't your mama's mouse trap. Today we're gonna trap the rat. You're gonna do everything you can to set up the board and get going. It's Trap the Rat. Okay, so we got the rat coming into the finish line. The rat's coming in. He's at the start line. He's gonna make it to the finish line. He's got chains in the main, and the rat's gonna get in. Then there was everyone on the sidelines gonna have to capture the rat. Nitro's doing really well. He's almost trapped the rat. He's got him in a cage. Oh, and the rat has got loose, and that's it for that. Marco's coming in clean with his race car. His race car's got a trapper on the end of it. He's gonna catch that rat. Catch the rat. Oh, Marco's gone. And here he goes. Marco's on. He's making a turn. He's lost. He trapped the rat. I just made 50 grand on that fucking rat.
You're betting on the rat, dude.
Now it's ad time.
Oh, shit.
It does feel like that.
Mike, you got any music for us?
I have the same music.
I would love it. I don't hate it.
It has a little delay on it this week.
That's wonderful, dude. Hey, y'all. I just wanted to thank HeadGum and our sponsors. And Leah and Josh and Corey and Kevin. What a team. What a team.
Everyone's doing a great job.
Everyone's doing great. And the Patreon's got that new show, The Commentarium. I hope you guys enjoyed that. A lot of love was put into this program. And if you guys want to see more of that, there's plenty coming.
And the Buttercream Farm stuff.
Dude, the Buttercream Farm stuff. Did you think that at the Gentle Barn we could get some Buttercream stuff there?
I don't know what the vibe is.
Yeah, hard to know.
Filming stuff. And I would just, my heart would break if I bothered them in any type of a way.
We could make a generous donation of $250,000.
We need a... It is.
I got an email about it. It might not say that.
We have to say it at the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Alright, well, me. Guys, we want to thank Squarespace. Of course, this podcast is sponsored by and brought to you by Squarespace. We love Squarespace! MikeFelzone.com is a Squarespace website, and we think Whitney Moore's got a Squarespace website. Everybody who needs one's got one, and maybe that's you. Maybe you don't have one and you need one. And I'm telling you, Squarespace is the easiest place to set up a website. You'll have your own shop, your own gallery, your place for videos. Sell stuff, showcase stuff, archive stuff. You want a website because if you're a professional or an artist or anything like that, having a website is freaking cool. We're talking cutting edge designs. We're talking tools to make to build your website that looks like a freaking professional, cool website. You can do email campaigns. Send things out. People, if people sign up with their email address, you could make things that then bursts out to those email addresses like a cool little email chain. Hey, why don't you start your own little freaking joke of the day website and send an email with a joke. Listen, I'm not here to give you the ideas unless you probably have an idea already and it's better than joke of the day. And what are you gonna do, rip off all these jokes that exist already, or are you gonna make up weird ones?
or maybe ones that people don't understand because there's no context. It doesn't matter, because at Squarespace, you can build the website easy. It's the last thing you have to worry about, because there's also that 24/7 customer support. They're there for you if there's any issues, which likely there will not be, but it's very comforting to know there are people there to help you no matter what. So go to squarespace.com, check it out, get the free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BANTER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com for the trial. Try it out. When you're ready to launch your website, you go to squarespace.com, and then you type in that offer code BANTER. How about that? Thanks, Squarespace!
Yes.
Hey guys, next up we got Lisa. Oh my goodness, I never slept better in my life than on these dang Lisa mattress. I'm telling you, my back don't hurt no more. And I got these really cool, this bed, it moves up and down like a hospital bed. I feel like I'm in the hospital, except I'm not. Take out all the bad parts of the hospital, and that's where I feel like I am.
Just leaving all the good
parts. Leaving all the good parts, like the bed that moves up and down. But listen, you don't need a bed that moves up and down. That's kind of fancy. But at Lisa, you can get any kind of mattress that suits your particular needs. I sleep like a baby on this dang mattress. I ain't lying to you. This is what I do. This is a fact. This is my life. We're talking beds that are designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Highest quality materials. Lisa meticulously designs and assembles your mattress in America for exceptional comfort and support. And delivery is free, returns are easy, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. With Lisa, your purchase has a purpose. Your purchase has a purpose. Every year, Lisa donates thousands of mattresses to those in need, with more than 40,000 donated to date. So go to Lisa.com. We're getting from March 5th to April 29th. There's a 20% off site-wide sale. It's a spring sale. Hey, spring in is spring mattress. None of them have springs, I don't think. But that's LEESA.com, promo code BANTER for that 20% off site-wide code for that spring sale, plus an extra $50 off straight from your boys at DB. So that's Lisa.com, LEESA.com, promo code BANTER. And remember, no matter where you are, there's a Lisa just for you. And last but not least, by any means, let's talk about Harry's. Oh my God, listen, you were a comedy podcast. We make jokes. Sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's not. And the thing is everyone who does comedy knows that not every joke delivers, but guess who does? Harry's. And we got Kevin with that one. They send the best quality razors right to your door for a fraction of the price. Fraction of the price of the big brands. That was trauma from my high school days, learning fractions at school, and it was the hardest thing for me to learn. I couldn't wrap my little brain around it. But I'll tell you what I can wrap my brain around. Better designed shaving products at a better price. That's no joke.
You can actually wrap them around your brain.
You can. It's not a joke, guys. It's Harry's. And right now you can get a $13 trial set for just $3. Let's take that $10 and throw it into the bin. Because you're only spending $3 for a trial set. At harrys.com/Mike and Steve. That's right, guys. In fact, I used Harry's this morning. I shave right around here.
Whoa.
and it's always a clean shave. I never get nicked. And the razor feels so nice. The weighted handle is so fancy in my hands. I've never trusted it more of a company on my face. And we're not just talking about razor blades here, guys. We're talking about richly lathering, skin-softening body wash in scents like Redwood, Wildlands, and Stone. We're talking extra strength, high quality, amazing smelling deodorants for just $5, and plus hair and other grooming products to fit your unique look and needs. So get shaving products that always deliver. Get Harry's. And listen, normally that trial set is $13, as I said, but right now you get it for just $3 at harrys.com/Mike and Steve. That's our exclusive link, harrys.com/Mike and Steve, for a $3 trial set. Wow! The music just turning on for a couple, like, of beats, and then going away, and then coming back again with no... for no reason.
Yeah.
And then going away is, like, some of my favorite shit.
That's all good stuff.
Because it just feels like it couldn't possibly be intentional.
It feels like you hit a button with your elbow.
Yeah, like by accident. Yeah. And everyone
got real excited. Can I say a couple more things now that we're still in the selling stuff portion of the show? You see this?
Dude. Oh, yeah! Dude.
Our friend Nick Hamilton wrote a book, and it's called Sipsy Doozy. And it's a big, like, textbook, basically, coffee table book of all these cocktails that he loves and that he himself made up.
That's wonderful, man.
And it looks incredible. And so proud of him. I did not know that he knew how to read or write.
Yeah. And well, so he didn't write it. He gave it to someone else to write.
I think he said, write a book? Take a cool picture of me and put me on the cover. And yeah. They're like, fuck yeah, we can.
Or he wrote it, but he gave the words to someone else to put into a book.
I think he told ChatGPT to write a book.
Because you don't need to write a book. You could just say it into something that will make it into words.
That's what that extreme song is about. Hi, is this Nick Hamilton?
No, you didn't write this book.
This is Nick Hamilton. Hi.
Nick Hamilton, you are absolutely, per usual, on Dynamic Banter.
That is usual.
I just want you to know that. And I'm holding in my hand, I'm holding your beautiful book, Sipsy Doozies. 100 plus, I'm reading it. 100 plus respectfully crafted cocktails for the home bartender, Nicholas Hamilton.
That's right.
Do you want to say anything about this book?
It's 100 plus respectfully crafted cocktails for the home bartender by Nicholas Hamilton.
I said that part though already. Do you want to add anything else?
Hang on.
Okay. We got all day. If I had to pick a favorite, it'd be the Lake Amsworth.
He just opened the book and picked a page.
Fave.
And I was also reading these acknowledgments that you have on the back of the book. And one struck my eye in particular.
Which one? The one to my ex-boyfriend?
Yes, I like that one a lot. I thought that one. Zink? That one hit. No, there's no women in the acknowledgement. So I just want to say there's this one part that said, okay, here it is. It's the second to last line in the third paragraph of the acknowledgement. It says, you're my best friend and I'm yours. You've said that before.
Mm.
Is that a typo?
What do you mean?
Like, I just mean, like, are all those words spelled wrong?
Hang on, I've got a copy right here. Let me have a look.
Okay, open it up. It's page 999.
Yeah, no, all those words are right.
Are they in the right order? Like, are they supposed to be in different paragraphs on different pages?
You're my best friend and I'm yours. you've said that before. Yeah, no, that's all true.
Did you have someone fact-checking this book with you while you were writing it?
Well, no one knows of a relationship.
So it doesn't have to be fact-checked, is what you're saying.
I think it's pretty factual.
Do the rest of the recipes have lies in them as well?
Did you tell them about the illustrations you did for the book?
No, I did not.
Go ahead.
I did illustrations for the book as well. I did all the little ingredients. I drew them.
You want to show Steve?
This is Steve's wonderful. I'm looking at it.
There he is.
I'm looking at it, but I don't like being put on the spot about how I feel about a friend's piece of work. So I'm going to be completely silent and faceless. Like, there's no expression on my face.
Nick, you're not famous enough for Steve to have an opinion based on silence.
I just don't like doing it live. I like to take my time.
He wants to get in there and he wants to try all the alcohol before he realizes that he likes your book or not.
Yeah.
No, but it really is beautiful.
Tony Revolori.
You're no Pete Davidson. I just want to say that your book looks beautiful. And I know you were kind of surprised about the size story of my life, but I think it's the perfect size, and I think it's very nice for people to have, like, in their wet bar, in their kitchen.
Or dry bar.
Or dry bar. People can have it on their dry bar special that they shoot in Utah for all the Mormons.
Yeah.
And who don't drink, by the way, you will sell no books in Utah. I don't know if you were planning on that.
Why am I going to Park City?
Is there a thing for sacrament wine in here?
I'm gonna add one for my tour stop in Sandy, Utah.
But everything is beautiful. Who was the photographer? Because they did a great job.
Her name is Brittany Connolly.
Good job, Brittany.
You should make a book called Sipsy Daisy. Sipsy Daisy could be for the Utah crowd.
What do you think about that?
It could be about flowers, because aren't you a big gay?
What do you mean?
Well, don't gays love flowers? Sipsy Daisy, think about it.
Sipsy Daisy.
You could drink a flower, I guess.
There's a drink in there called Floral Sex.
Oh,
what the fuck? Oh, because of... I'm just hearing it now.
Because of flowers?
Congratulations, Nick, on your book.
Okay, I have one more thing in my notes here.
How much is this going to cost, this book?
That's a great question. I don't have enough money for this shit.
Jackpot.
How much is this going to cost me to get this book?
I just won $250,000.
Do you guys want one?
Yeah,
I'm Kevin wants one.
I'm not joking.
Plus one. I didn't have to go to his website or something. I was trying to go to the website and the calculator.
The other note I had on my phone is that there's this new Harry Potter show coming out.
Speaking of fucking nerd shit.
You know, I I'm not a Harry Potter guy, and, you know, politics aside, I just never really was interested.
Politics?
You know, because there's some dirty politics surrounding J.K. Rowling, the author of the book.
She sucked Trump off or something?
She's an absolute piece of shit is what she is.
Oh, word?
Yeah, turns out. So anyway, but there's a show coming out where she's going to become very more rich when it happens.
It's but almost like it doesn't matter if you're a piece of shit.
It is like that.
You could be the president.
Yeah.
If you want. Dude, it truly doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. No. Because this new Harry Potter show is going to come out. Everyone's going to be like, fucking incredible. And nothing matters.
Dude, even if you're a piece of shit, you could absolutely, like, it's easier for you to get rich.
Yeah.
So everyone's been telling you all your life, like, be a good person. Stand up for what you believe in, blah, blah, blah. That's poor people shit.
I think the only way they could get me to watch this Harry Potter show
is if they put it in front of me and press play.
Yeah, then I'll watch it. The only way I would watch any of it, even this piece of information that I wrote down that I found kind of interesting will not get me to watch this show.
Yeah.
But if they cast a trans actor as, like, Dumbledore.
Sure.
Now that would be something progressive and new.
So if you, so the reason why no one likes J.K. Rowling, or not no one, the reason why people don't like J.K. Rowling,
a lot of people don't like,
is because she said like trans women aren't women.
Yeah.
So if they cast the trans Dumbledore, you'd be like, then I'll give her money.
Because I'd be like, well, I'd still steal the show. I mean, I'm not going to pay for that.
Well, I think Dumbledore might steal the show.
I'll give him three cheers. I'll tell you that much. Three cheers for J.K. Rowling. If we get a trans Dumbledore.
And tell me, can you pay your rent with three cheers?
So here's the casting news, though, which I thought was interesting. Do you know who Hagrid is?
No.
Hagrid is the big fat fuck with a beard.
He holds the door.
He does hold the door.
So she is body positive.
The big fat guy holds the door.
Yeah.
And he's like, oi, you're a wizard, Harry. You've heard that shit. You've heard the Scottish accent. And he goes, oi, I live in the shack, even though I'm a wizard. They make me live in a shack.
No, but I've seen what he looks like.
He's a big fat guy. Robbie Coltrane?
Rowdy
Coltrane. Rest in peace.
This guy.
Yeah, I know that guy.
You know.
Oi, you're a wizard, Harry.
He's Scottish?
Yeah, I live in the dirt.
He's Scottish. And they're all
or
English?
Irish, maybe? Maybe
and they
Irish.
Live in Fantasy Town?
Listen.
Whoa. I just saw who was going to play.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, so the whole reason why I brought this up is because they have potentially cast the new Hagrid.
What color is everybody?
And I think it's really good casting, but I'm still not going to watch this fucking show.
So you're not going to support the...
the casting decision?
All the different colors of the people in the play.
We'll see. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Isn't it interesting? Doesn't it present you with a conundrum to be like, if this thing's not a success, all of these people are out a lot of potential money.
I'm not worried. I don't cry for millionaires, Mike.
They're all millionaires, everybody involved in this thing?
Potentially.
Probably not.
I mean,
all the actors.
The people that benefit the most are millionaires.
Yeah. There's a lot of other.
Sure. But I'm sure they'll get other work, especially this actor who's already been in a ton of things.
And if you talk to any actors now, they're all drowning in work.
Well, listen, my idea, my feelings about this show is not going to make it happen or not.
I'm just saying,
know?
It gets murky. The more like lines you draw in the sand, it but you still like a thing, it gets really like murky and weird.
Well, I've never liked Harry Potter, so it's easy for me to not care about a new show.
Amen.
But the casting news is interesting because... yeah. I think, hey, listen, if anybody's going to play this Hagrid character, why not it be Nick Frost? Do you know who that is?
Santa Claus. You're talking
Frost.
About Santa Claus?
Why can't it be Jack Frost? Why can't Jack Frost play Hagrid?
Because of hair color?
So Nick Frost is the fat guy from Shaun of the Dead, the friend from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, that British guy, right?
Yeah, he already kind of looks like that
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, hey, I think that's good casting. Great job. Hey, listen, I don't give a shit, but that's good casting.
Does Nick Frost believe that life begins at conception? Because unless I know that, I will not watch the play.
How many genders do you think Nick Frost thinks there are?
Call him up.
Nick Frost.
What if you could call anyone in the world?
But you had to get it. You had to hit the note right.
Nick Frost. You there?
But some people were saying it felt like when they cast Martin Freeman as young Bilbo in the Hobbit movies, which I don't know. It probably sounds like gibberish to you, but
what level right? of Dungeons and Dragons is that?
All right. Shall we do a history road?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fucking, hey, listen. I came all the way out here. Might as well. There's another history road. There's another history road song. Yeah. There's no vaccine for
Krovis. Did we say that?
There's no vaccine for Krovis.
And get a
with the peanut butter, and I have allergies. Whoa, mama me.
That's really nice.
What a fantastic song that is.
That's great.
And I mean that in the most sincerest version of fantastic that I'm aware of.
Dude, we're being fucking like attacked by fucking
the
spam.
Left.
Dude, the insurance.
There's so much insurance auto emails insurance. In here. Auto insurance.
Why can't you like you highlight it and then you go to like mark all as?
I do it. I do it every time. I actually, I have spent some time in our email box literally just going through all the stuff that's spam and marking it unsubscribe, block, unsubscribe, block.
There's a lot.
But you know, I guess when you put your email address out there into the world.
You're gonna get insurance.
You're gonna get insurance, you know? What can I say?
Yeah, I think you're right, bud.
Okay, so we got an urgent chaos turd at work history road.
Have you looked at this birds removed from zoo for swearing at guests?
What is that?
It's a history road.
Should we do it after this one? Let's do it after this one. Matthew French says, Mike and Steve, urgent, be nice or don't be nice. Okay.
Here we go. We need a...
Absolute chaos turd at work. Walked into my preferred toilet cubicle. Stats. Toilet water. Everywhere. Bits of torn up shredded toilet paper. Everywhere. Some look like mini spliffs. Indicative of intense rubbing. A rubbing wipe.
Yeah.
Wild amounts of these. Toilet seat, dripping wet. Hectic, skid marking trauma in toilet bowl. Wholesale destruction reminiscent of a Missouri tornado. Ass NATO? Too soon?
I don't know when this happened.
Note to self.
Hectic skid marking trauma in toilet bowl.
That's an episode. Oh my god, that's gotta be it. Hectic skid marking trauma in toilet bowl.
Shit spin art in toilet.
Note to self. Note to self, make no fucking sense. How can there be toilet water everywhere and skid marks everywhere? Wouldn't these be mutually exclusive? The guy who did this is literally at the sink right now, cleaning himself up.
Doing a whistle.
But not the toilet. Doing a nice calm whistle. Hey, nice to see you.
Hi.
Like soaking wet, getting covered hot, in like shit.
Getting a little warm.
As I write this from another cubicle, I'm pooping. I saw the guy as I walked in. The villain does not work on level 11 where I work.
The severance floor.
He bought his dirty ass from some other office. Brought maybe? What the fuck? This is definitely not okay. Don't leave your dang gong on level 11, asshole. I may catch this blow in at the lifts. Oi, I might catch this blowing at the lips. Now I know what nationality you are or where you are. Be nice or don't be nice. I'm feeling very not nice. Matt from Oz.
Do we know the rules or do we need a full refresher of the song?
We could listen to it one more time.
We need a theme.
Well, I think since like if you were the one in the toilet and there's toilet water everywhere and poop and tissues... and the offender is at the sink, there's a chance that what happened in there wasn't that person's fault. Public toilets are fickle. You know, sometimes they just flood because it's bad plumbing or whatever. So I don't know if I would not be able to help but give that person the benefit of the doubt that that's not their fault. But Mike, I think if it was you in there...
I think I have my answer.
I think you'd be nice.
I'm going to be real honest about this. And this is full like humility and everything. Finding a peaceful place to shit that is like away from where all the people you know and recognize are in an office setting is like the goal.
There was
a whole Detroiters episode about how they went to a specific,
a different toilet,
like abandoned floor. To shit, and they were like all excited about it, and then like a new company comes in and it really fucks it for them. I have such a specific tangible
Like I remember my office jobs very well, and that bathroom time is like peaceful, it's sacred precious. Time, right? And so it's like, if it was just like a smell, I would be like, that guy's just coming down to like, he had a bad Caesar salad wrap. That guy's just coming to fucking expel. And I hate that he did it in our bathroom, but I can't blame the guy. He just wants to shit. I think the thing that tips it over the not be nice for me is just like my own jumping to conclusions and seeing the mess in what would normally be like my Zen space. I would get mad and probably thrust that upon the next person.
I see that. I get that. Cause you're like, if I was the one that caused that, I would understand if someone was mad at me.
Yeah.
Cause even if it was an accident, you're still the one that caused it to happen.
You're the one I'm seeing right now. Yeah, and you're not cleaning it up.
Yeah. Someone needs to take the heat for that. Yeah.
So I think as much as it might not be that guy's fault and that guy's taking the brunt of it, like when you see a fat guy walk out of the bathroom and you smell something, you're like, it's definitely that.
Yeah, it could have been someone before him, a skinny person.
It could have.
A regular sized person, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Because that fat guy looked like he would have made that. Yeah. So he's the one that takes the heat.
And I think that's where I am right now. I think it's a not be nice, but I don't think it is necessarily the right thing to do. But I do think that's my honest answer.
All right, Antonio, go for it. I know, he kept playing those first couple of notes. Well, thank you so much, Matthew, for sending in that chaos turd email. All right, so Kevin said this. Probably from this far away. Kevin said the birds removed from the zoo for swearing at guests. History Road looked pretty good.
Okay.
Let's find out what this is all about.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly they said.
It looks like we have a special guest showing up.
We sure do.
Oh, no. Oh, shit, it's the Prince of Darkness himself. No. It's the devil. So, what's up? Is this? Are you saying
you gotta watch what you do with your hand nowadays?
You do have to watch what you do with your hand now. Are you? Oh, does that mean that you're careful with things that you do, Satan?
Yes.
It sounds oddly normal.
Yeah, I know that was my fault. My bad.
Hello. We're doing another take. Take two.
Imagine I didn't come in, Joe, right now.
Oh shit! It's the devil. The devil's here.
Why?
I took a break from where I normally am, which is in the details, to come here to Dynamic Banter.
Do you have something to say, or what's going on?
I just want to say that Mike was on point with what he was saying before.
About what?
About being rich.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be a good person to be rich.
That's right. Is that true, Satan? Is that is true?
Yeah.
So you just wanted to come and reinforce that was true.
As a matter of fact, it'll really fuck you in your ass if you're a nice guy.
Yeah. Is that your doing? Are you the reason why that happens?
I don't do anything. I watch you do it.
Oh, wow. So you've got to be some force in
you know what I do, Steve?
What do you do, devil? The Satan?
I present the option.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to have some hand in this. Like,
I present the option and I watch.
So it's like the devil on the shoulder, the angel on the shoulder.
I watch you make the decision.
You watch me jack off.
And I watch you jack off.
You watch me jack off.
I present the opportunity to jack off. And then you take it. You take it. Jack it off. You take it. You want to jack off? You can jack off. You take it.
It feels like your head is like normal human size, but your body is like small.
I'm a demon. Okay. I'm not normal. Okay.
All right. Well, if you're responsible for all the bad stuff in the world, I think it's okay for me to body shame a little bit.
Doesn't bother me, Nerd Steve. You know why it doesn't bother me?
Why is that, Satan?
Because I invented body shaming.
Whoa! Spoiler alert! I haven't gotten to that season yet. All right, Satan. Well, is that all you wanted to stop by for?
One more thing.
Okay.
You take it.
I love your cape, by the way. I think it's a great cape. You okay? There's a cable there. Watch out. You're stuck there. There you go. Okay. All right. All right. Well, see you later, Satan. Okay.
You know what my favorite part about the devil puppet is? Mm. It's a puppet of a guy in a devil's costume.
Whoa, he's got like regular guy arms.
He's just a guy.
So he's like Jeff. He's just a regular guy.
I've never seen him and Jeff in the same place.
Whoa. Did Jeff get a voice changer? Okay, let's finish this history road here and then we'll call it a day. Jeff, hello, you fine bonkin' boys. This person's name is Thaddeus, I guess. That's pretty rad.
People are still named Thaddeus?
Looks like. My wife showed me this article tonight and I thought you guys would get a kick out of it.
Hold on, can we do a joke first?
Sure.
Could we go back and forth with some jokes about the name Thaddeus?
Okay.
Yeah.
He did his 23andMe and he came back 80% founding father.
Very good.
That's one.
Okay.
Thaddeus.
I think Thaddeus is just stuck here from his own time. He fell into a portal and now he's here.
I heard he was just a regular kid named Tom.
Yeah.
And he was reading a book. And he was walking and reading a book and then he fell into the book and now
he's in the book now. Yeah. I think his parents were probably thinking about like what's something we could name our son that will absolutely get him.
Roasted on a podcast.
Roasted.
Yeah. This is actually our first history road that was ever written with a quill.
I was using the electrical box that brings information from around the world.
I come to you from the electric information box.
I've really been enjoying these horseless carriages that need electricity to power them.
We got to get this guy back to his time.
I got my own problems.
I bet there's some maiden who's very upset he's not home for dinner.
I know. She's, where's my Thaddeus? My one true love. So Thaddeus says that they sent this article about a zoo that was forced to remove 5 parrots from public view for swearing. They were saying, my favorite part is the zookeeper saying that the parrots were moved into other bird colonies in hopes that they would pick up cleaner language, but that there's a potential for it to backfire and teach the other flock of 250 birds to curse as well. And now just imagine the hilarity of a flock of 250 swearing birds.
Yeah.
Like here they come. Fucker!
Fuck!
Come, suckers!
Tits!
Fuck
titties! Titties?
Fuck you. Fuck you.
That is what they were saying.
They're saying fuck you. Dude, I love it. I would love that to go to the zoo.
People ruin everything. That's why we don't deserve an earth that's good. Because people do that to the earth.
You're right.
We taught the planet to swear. And now we're upset that the planet swears?
No, come on. Swearing is so fun, you fucking idiots.
Come.
Kevin says, sent me a thing that says the 5 parrots at Lincolnshire Wildlife Park became infamous for shouting all kinds of expletives and rude phrases at visitors and staff. Some of the things they overheard saying included, fuck off, you fat tit.
I don't know.
Or twat. You fat twat.
Fuck off, you fat twat.
Bitch, probably. Fucking hell.
Fucking hell. Are they, where are they?
And well, with Lincolnshire, I'm assuming it's the UK or something.
Thaddeus and Lincolnshire?
Yeah. Whoa. What's the, there's some connection here. Is this a new ARG? Whoa.
Can you get scrolls in your email?
Is this in-game, Thaddeus? And finally, you can fuck right off is another thing that they say.
Dude, remember when they did that portal in New York? That like looked through to like,
oh yeah,
was it Ireland?
See, yeah, yeah.
And everyone was immediately like, you remember 9/11, you fucks?
Yeah, or like showed their tits, like flash their tits.
Which is the most beautiful way. They couldn't tell the parrots to flash their tits.
Flash your tits.
Look at my tits. Look at my tits.
What are you doing? I'm a good baby girl.
That's so funny.
Imagine being like, oh, what a pretty bird. You can fuck right off. I would fucking love it. And they were also known to laugh after swearing. Wow, look at that beautiful bird. Fuck off, you fat cunt.
But they just like, that's just sounds that they learned how to imitate. So they're really like begging for food.
People were teaching them for sure.
Yeah, but they're like, they make those sounds to like communicate. So they yeah. need something, but it's they're not smart enough to match up the words with like what they need.
So they're hungry as fuck. And they're just saying, fuck you. But it translates to I'm hungry.
Help me. Let me out.
According to the park CEO, it was like a comedy club when all five started going off at once. The birds were placed in quarantine.
Who's on first?
The birds were placed in quarantine together before being displayed to the public, and during that time they likely egged each other on and reinforced the profanity. Once in public view, their swearing became a spectacle, funny to some visitors but inappropriate for children or more sensitive guests, which led them to being separated. This is just me and my friends in school.
Yeah, getting put in different
literally
seats.
Yeah, like all sitting next to each other, and the teachers that knew it in the first day of class, would go like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, that's not happening. I know you
Dude,
guys love each
other. So funny how the teachers, like my English teacher, Mr. D, would
They're
do that.
Cahoots.
He would be like, so funny that you guys think that you're sitting together on the first day of
what
class.
What a great thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you had a great summer together. I'm sure you're together every day. You in that corner, you in that corner. And then immediately it's this.
Yeah, and then
dude, laughing. I know we've talked about it today.
Just holding your laughter when you're not
just
supposed
to. Just laughing when you're not supposed to. There's nothing for
it. It's real nice. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to the show today. I want to thank everyone, Leah, Kevin, Corey, Josh,
Punch,
thank
Flend.
You to the patrons for patreon.com/dynamicbanter, where we got all sorts of fun things. We got the Buttercream Farm sketch that went up. It Take was me. Very funny, where you meet the farmers from Buttercream Farms. That's a great sketch that Kevin,
Corey.
Kevin shot it and Corey edited it. And what a duo. What a team up. What
it's
a
great,
hey, that's my fucking mashup right there. That's my Avengers.
My Mount Rushmore is Kevin and Corey.
Yeah, and the Commentarium first episode, new series, Who Dis? The Commentarium featuring Mike and I watching a Rowdy Rowdy Piper video.
Workout video for children.
And it's a labor of love, and there's more coming. So thank you to the patrons. And Mike, let's hear some dates.
The 16th through the 19th, I'll be doing Surrounded at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas. And then all the following week, I'll be in New York City doing shows at The Stand, including a very special Surrounded Thursday night, April 24th at 10 p.m. Surrounded, starring Jordan Jensen, Ian Finance, friend of the show, Maddie Lopes, Katrina Davis, and more. It's going to be, dude, I couldn't ask for a better lineup. It's going to be so good. Come see me in New York. I fucking love being there. And
get a slice of za with Mike Valza.
Get a slice of za near me. Dude, the pizza at The Stand, dude. They have this pizza that's like pepperoni and hot honey.
Ooh, mama, that sounds fucking bad.
First time I got that.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.